Thank you all for coming. Today I am talking about my research paper called Sushi Environmentalism and Dave the Diver. So this is some new work that I've been doing that is kind of focused on looking at how games are kind of operating in the space of Korean culture, Korean screen culture, because it's one of those often under examined spaces that I feel. And so for the purpose of this, I'm really going to be looking and using some games analysis as a means in a close playing of games to kind of really understand what is eco-criticism in games and kind of how we're starting to see that games are kind of developing new attitudes and attentions in their players towards kind of like the ecological environment that we're having. But this paper, as I go into, is this conference that rather is talking about where the directions that kind of Hallyu is going and kind of the popularity of Korean culture across the screen and around the globe. And so I wanted to kind of like highlight how games in particular have been kind of really leveraging their connections with Korean culture. And you're starting to see in a lot of situations, it goes back for decades now, but like just recently, just this fall, you see these major collaborations between large studios in the United States and Korean pop artists. So you start to see like here you have the Seraphim. And Overwatch 2, and they did this collaboration event. You also see the League of Legends, which just hosted their World Championships in Korea, to hosted a K-pop concert alongside that. And there is this kind of mishmash and crossover connection between these various pop culture industries. And so we're starting to see how the games and other forms of pop culture are kind of like interacting with one another. But what does that have to do kind of with what does that have to do with our understanding of how games are kind of developing and moving in spaces around game around excuse me around culture here. So I'm going to be talking about eco-critical game. So game scholar Alinda Chang in 2019 wrote a book called Playing Nature, where she commented and described how games can provide an opportunity for us to interact and explore our relationship with nature in ways that other forms of media can't. So that while literature or music or films can cause a certain amount of awe or respect for nature, games actually, due to the medium and the interactivity of it, provides an opportunity to kind of operate in virtual nature spaces and kind of can create these situations. So she describes how that. Which is an interesting space for games, because typically when we think about games, we think about this move away from nature, the stereotypical view of a nerd or an unsociable person in their basement playing video games. But rather, it's trying to kind of say that like that image of the gamer is actually kind of one of the past. Now games are so ubiquitous and commonly played that they really are just a modern medium for everyone to play. And so she wrote, what fears over the insular artificiality of games fail to acknowledge is that games have undergone a cultural transformation from being a largely private and youthful subculture to being a ubiquitous phenomenon that now spans domestic and public spaces across all demographic categories. And further, she continues to say, those who have reported on the rise of casual mobile gaming have captured the technological, social, and ontological shifts in the nature of games and game devices, without necessarily recognizing that these shifts could be characterized in part as changing relationship between players and play spaces, between real and virtual worlds. So what we're starting to see, and what Chang is kind of pushing towards, is saying that in games, you're starting to have this relationship, this understanding of how the real world that exists outside of game spaces can be remapped and created into game spaces, and how the opportunity to interact with the those worlds and the logics within them allows specific understandings and developments of values. And she described it through the development of a game called Walden, which is based off of the popular story by Ralph Waldo Emerson on Walden Pond, where as a player you kind of recreate his removal from society and kind of sustaining life around this pond. And so what we're starting to see is that games are starting to create the space and opportunity for players to kind of like understand and question their relationship in the world. And we will see that with Dave the Diver. But first, I kind of want to talk about one of the means, the second means of way that I'm going to be now analyzing the games. So there's this popular concept in game studies called procedural rhetoric, which recognizes that games are complex composite media that rely on a combination of art, sound, narrative, and gameplay mechanics to create player experiences. Critical media scholar Ian Bogost describes the concept of procedural rhetoric as the ways in which we can understand video games. Specifically, it refers to the rules, refers to the use of process or rules embedded with the system, such as a game or simulation, to convey a particular argument or perspective. It's a way of expressing ideas through the interactive dynamics. Essentially, the way that the game forces you to play is the way that it teaches you how the world is supposed to work. And so a popular example is in the indie game Papers, Please, where you take on the role of a immigration officer at a border crossing, and you are forced to kind of choose who is allowed to enter into the country and who's not allowed to enter the country. And through the process of reviewing these documents, you embody this role of this government figure, and then you have to interpolate those feelings and those actions as you make process through the game, and recognize how the authority of a single individual bureaucrat kind of has a lot of power in the day-to-day lives of many hundreds of people. And kind of like highlighting how this process can be much greater and grander than we would necessarily think. So using that same method, we're going to be looking at Dave the Diver. But first, I want to kind of talk about these new directions in K gaming. So Dave the Diver is the product of Mint Rocket. It was developed and published by Mint Rocket, which is a newly formed subsidiary of the Korean game company Nexon. And so the interesting thing about this is Nexon specifically developed this studio as a response to kind of like flagging and negative reviews of players and critics around the IP of Nexon. Essentially, in much of the gaming world, players view Nexon as kind of like this corporate beast that is really only focused on the development of pay-to-win schemes and situations where players have to kind of like give over their money in order to kind of like progress in games. And so as a kind of response to this, Nexon developed this subsidiary development studio called Mint Rocket. And Mint Rocket has a very particular focus on fun as its key component of its game development. So I'm going to read you their kind of their focus, their mantra, their design mantra. So a relentless focus is on the enjoyment of gameplay. There are hundreds of things to consider when creating a game. However, the single most important thing is the fun. We at Mint Rocket boldly put aside the old conventions once considered the standards of success, and decided to stick tenaciously to focusing on the fun of a game. We believe that the answer lies with the heart of gamers who just enjoy games. So this is representing kind of like a new wave in Korean game development, where it is attempting to push away from these opportunities of microtransactions and kind of like fast money, and rather recentering gameplay back in the fun spaces, as I just mentioned. And so what they came up with in the first project is this game called Dave the Diver. And in this game, they kind of create through three specific manners. I argue that they develop a sense of eco-criticism and kind of like ecological awareness in its players. And so the way that it does that is through three specific ways. It's mechanics, it's narrative, and it's art. And I'm going to kind of showcase some of this right now. So if we look at the mechanics, Dave the Diver, as here you can see, as a diver, you take on the role of the character Dave, who is enlisted by his friends to kind of open up a sushi restaurant. But he, being a diver by trade, operates and kind of like fishes in the world. So what he ends up doing, and the way that you as a player have to go, is you have to take on the role of this character, you go into the water, and you are forced with managing your the weight that you can carry, as well as the dangers of the ocean, and you're kind of expected to navigate through these and explore this ocean space in a way that is not supposed to be very harmful to it. So there's as you can see in Sims, there's a teeming life in this ocean space that the player will be able to catch and fish, and through a variety of ways, whether it is through spear fishing, through net fishing, and other things. But the point is, while you can go and capture as much fish as you would like and kill and just kind of go through and try to capture every single fish that you see, the game recognizes and punishes you through that, because if you go through and remove all the fish from one area, then when you return to it later in the game, those fish are no longer there. So it develops this connection and this relationship between how your actions have meaning in the ocean spaces that you are operating. It also attempts to develop a sense of awareness and kind of like class consciousness, where you take on the role of a not only are you the fisherman, you are also the server in this restaurant that you and your friends have opened up. And so you are choosing the menu and helping to kind of like run this restaurant in this bifolded game. And so you're attempting to kind of interact with your customers and keep them happy, and kind of like demonstrate how your work and labor is kind of like connected to this process of developing fish industry. And so as you see that there's also further I guess I didn't get it in this image. There is also mechanics that are focused on developing a sustainable local agriculture. So there's a farming component in the game where the players are advised and expected to kind of like go and till and manage the land through the process of weeding and planting, kind of like nurturing and taking care of local things, and then using those local products to further develop their sushi industry, kind of like refocusing on how a player can kind of like interact in a local community space. The game also attempts to develop a sense of eco-criticism through its narrative. So while most games or games are famously known for their large overworld heroes, where you have like say the princess or like the end of the world is coming, in Dave the Diver, it's actually slightly more mundane before it discovers the large big situation in it, where you are attempting to pursue the dream of developing a sushi restaurant or creating a sushi restaurant because of your friend's love of sushi and your love of diving, and recognizing how through changing and the relationship that one has with nature, through recognizing how the relationship one has with nature, that players kind of can see their role in the kind of the life cycle of game of the fishing industry. So what you also see in this game is, in not only is it that sushi is a kind of moving away from this concept of like, oh, you need to have the three most common sushi dishes, which is your tunas, your salmons, and your shrimps, and it really pushes in this character Banjo, how he pushes this idea that like it's more about the art and the dedication and developing new flavors of sushi, and kind of like identifying fish that could be new opportunities to develop new cuisine. And so it's really trying to push back against these archetypes of overfishing. Additionally, you fight some of the antagonists in the game are this one character, John Watson, who is actually a member of a environmental protection collective similar to kind of Greenpeace. But through the course of gameplay and through the story, you realize that he is essentially punching down rather than going towards major fishing industries where he wouldn't be able to kind of interact or provide a lot of pushback against them. He recognizes that he can directly impact you as a single individual fisherman, and that like he attempts to kind of like stop you from polluting and kind of like harming the environment around you. Ironically, through the course of the gameplay, you start to see that he is actually in support of these larger fishing industries, and part of the reason why he is attacking you is to kind of like remove that competition while still holding to his concept of being the ecological preserver. also in the narrative of the game, you run into these mermaids, who are this deep underwater civilization who previously had a much stronger interaction. They're kind of viewed as the caretakers of the ocean, and their society is a civilization in decline, and much of their knowledge has been lost. And you, throughout the course of the story, you start to interact with them and start to see that part of the reason why their civilization is in decline is because their relationship with humans has deteriorated, and that as human pollution becomes greater and greater, their ability to kind of like mete out and prevent these larger destabilizing forces come to be. And so then again, through the course of the game, you start to repair this relationship and trying to create a development of a symbiotic partnership with the sea civilization, and recognize that by helping them, you can help humans. And so it's starting to kind of create these connections and this interactivity between these two spaces. Also, the way that Dave the Diver attempts to kind of like create a relationship with its players is through its use of art. And so here you can see it's very, very popular in how it is drawing upon very famous means. So that you have the example of Salt Bae, and it's attempting to kind of like draw on very, very commonly seen and kind of recognizable memes and imagery throughout the world as a means of connecting with the game and demonstrating value. You also here see an example. This is another character in the game who is they're an otaku, and they have these love of these kind of figurines, and they're a major collector of them, and they provide you with tools and equipment to use in the ocean throughout it. And you're trying to kind of create, through this positioning of art, an attempt to kind of like show a relationship between the player, who's again the original player, is viewed as this person who is just a big fanboy stuck in their closet or in their bedroom and not seeing the light of day, but recognizing that even when you are that individual, you can still produce and develop a sense of help in the world. The last thing that this game attempts to do as a way of developing eco-criticism is through its design. Essentially, and this is very common in indie games, where you see the developers attempt to create a relationship with their player base, and they do that through these situations of developer design blogs and interactivity with fans, as a means to kind of showcase this is where the game has gone and the direction that they're taking it, as well as kind of receive feedback. And so it leads to this semi-co-design situation. So you're starting to see how game spaces and game design is attempting to leverage the relationship it has with its fans as a means of kind of like interacting and connecting with the space. So as part of the way that this co-design is occurring, you have players further buying into the process and further kind of like recognizing their opportunity to provide change through fun. But and this is a kind of a major thing to take a look at, because again, in the game space, there is it's a saturated space in terms of development, where you have many companies that fail and many companies that are attempting to kind of like break into the game space, and you have this moniker known as independent games, which is the imagery that Dave the Diver attempts to do. And an independent game would be one that doesn't have a connection to a larger publisher or a larger developer. So while Mint Rocket is actually a subsidiary of the large screen game company, it is attempting to kind of like draw on this relationship that other studios have, that other independent studios that are much more reliant on player interaction and player support, both not only financial support, but also kind of like design and emotional support through these interactions of development of the game. So you're starting to see how there is this kind of like push in major studios to kind of like more independent, kind of like player-driven spaces. And so ultimately, the Dave the Diver, through this process of co-design, its art, its mechanics, its narrative, attempts to develop this relationship with the players to recognize the ecological impact of various fishing industries, and specifically the sushi industry, and how players can appropriately take their behavior and kind of like manage their consumption of this very popular cuisine. But I'm going to end here with this kind of this call from game scholar Rachel Hutchinson, who when she was describing the role that we play in games, which is that if I've invested 100 hours of my time playing a game, I spent 100 hours submerged in its worldview, in time to absorb its cultural attitudes of the game designers regarding race, gender, sexuality, and class. And so you start to see as you're playing time with the game, as it continues and expands, you're really starting to engage with the values that these designers are having. And when the design is becoming connected to the players themselves, it creates this pathway for gamers to kind of like recognize their positionality in the larger ecology of games. Thank you.